Little Wild by Laura Evans. Read by Tamarin Payne.
Dio d'amor, confido in te. De, tu premia la mia fe. Gioacchino Rossini, La gazza ladra.
Snare House, September 1937. Half past ten. All morning they've been coming up the long drive. I can't see them from here. The grass is too tall. And in any case, there are the beaches. But I can hear the engines, the wheels crunching on the turning circle. Fabian has been out three times to huff over his gravel, which came all the way from Chipping Camden and has only been laid a fortnight. Half an hour ago, there was a commotion, a tractor broken down on the village road, and the iceman's van unable to get by. You'd have thought from the flapping it was Joni herself who was stuck. The sculptor declaring he would have to make a duck instead of a swan, and Lucille trying to calm him, and Isaac bellowing barometric readings from the library window at two-minute intervals, and then Shepherd dispatched on his funny little groundsman's tricycle, and two of the boys after him with wheelbarrows, as if great slabs of ice are in the habit of turning to puddles at a moment's notice. The heat is making them all ridiculous. Still, Lucille will be pleased. She has been on at Fabian to get a refrigerator. I am probably supposed to be making myself useful, but I've been lying here so long I'm not sure I could get up even if I wanted. It is that sort of heat that turns one into a slug. At breakfast, Pip said it's to be a degree warmer than yesterday, which was a degree warmer than the day before, which was the warmest September day on record, and that if things carry on in this vein, we should be hotter than Saudi Arabia within the fortnight. And Lucille said it was comforting to think of there being somewhere on the planet where this sort of temperature would feel positively frigid, which I don't think even she believes. But it does seem to help, imagining yourself somewhere heat belongs. A camel hair mattress instead of scratchy grass, and not the meadow around me, but sand white as bone. A light breeze off the gulf, the tent billowing prettily, the date palms swaying, and air that smells somewhere between Turkish Delight and Lucille's perfume, which is called Poème Arabe and has to be ordered in bulk from Paris. Fabian, why can't you go to Grossmith's like everyone else? And oryx at the watering hole, parakeets in the trees, an endless blue sky, the vague sense of monkeys. I never get much further. I remember I feel sick, or that my chest feels tight, and then I remember why, that it isn't just the hay fever. And all I can think of is her, waking in her narrow berth, and washing and dressing and pinching her cheeks in the mirror, and breakfasting in the saloon, and piling with Aunt Katerina and Cousin Daphne into the cab to Liverpool Street, and boarding the train, and the train pulling out, and the distance between us shrinking from 100 miles to tens to none. 20 to 11. Here is someone else driving up. Hopefully the baker at last. They've been on tenterhooks about the cake all week. Except Eliza, who is sulking that it ought to be her job, and I think would be pleased if it didn't arrive at all. I can't imagine who else it could be. The Marquis came yesterday and was put up in the evening when the heat was marginally less oppressive, and even then the men needed a great deal of beer. I think we were all surprised, this morning, to see the canvas still in place and only one pole at a tilt. Today we've had the lanterns and braziers, the folding tables and chairs, and the trees in pots, some of the band with the bigger instruments, and the kitchen provisions, from Berry, except the milk and cream and eggs, which were bicycled up from Bennett's. The conjurer is here early, probably in the hope of a free lunch, but he'll be lucky to get anything but bread and butter out of Eliza.